Hey everyone, Pizza Mind here. I got some great news. This podcast has grown by leaps and bounds, and we have a big announcement to tell you in reaction to that growth. Bryce, what's going on?
Guys, we're leveling things up this year. Guys, starting the first week of January, okay? Starting the first week of January, we're changing the release schedule of the Crypto 101 podcast. So we're going to be releasing not one, but two episodes every single week in 2022. Okay, guys? So every Tuesday and every Thursday morning, you guys are going to be getting some brand new Crypto 101 content. And this begins Tuesday, January 4th. So mark your calendars for after the new year, guys. And per usual, episodes are going to still remain available wherever you listen to podcasts, along at crypto101podcast.com. And that's it, guys. And the reason really, you know, why we're doing this, it's crazy, but we've just, like Pizza Mind said, we've seen such enormous growth. We're getting inquiries, you know, literally like, you know, 50 to 100 every month for new guests to come on the show. Whereas back, you know, 2-3 years ago, we had to fight tooth and nail to get on top quality guests. And so it's just been an awesome, awesome period. And we're excited to dish up twice the amount of podcasts in the new year.
And this is our way of saying thank you to you guys for voting us best podcast in 2018, 2019, and 2020, according to the Blockchain Influencer Award. So thank you so much. We feel the love. We're going to give it back to you in 2022.
All right, all of you good, wonderful citizens of Crypt Nation. It is your host, Bryce Paul. Unfortunately, today I am not joined by my notorious counterpart, Mr. Aaron Pizza Mind Malone. He is off in some unnamed, distanced land. He doesn't even tell me where he goes off to some days. But so today I am joined by Robert Materazzi, who is the CEO of Lucca. Welcome, Robert.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, Bryce.
I can't express my appreciation enough here. But before we dive in here, give us a little bit about your background. Why did you get into this industry?
Yeah, I was at PricewaterhouseCoopers working as a consultant in their financial services practice. So working with a lot of the big banks on various responses to new regulation and whatnot, but a lot of which that touched technology, cybersecurity, and a lot of the risk that comes with using various financial systems. And was introduced to Lucca, who was building solutions for institutions. And I was very attracted to the standards and the quality to which they were building their products at in a very, very new and innovating industry, being the crypto industry. And so I thought that once the crypto, you know, industry was really adopted by, you know, more mainstream financial institutions and whatnot, that Lucca would be very well positioned to cater to them and give them very important services. And so it's been very exciting to see the rest of the world adopt more and more of crypto over the past year, of course.
Yeah, it's interesting. So Lucca is basically the infrastructure that underpins a lot of these software companies that are kind of building cryptocurrencies or building crypto exchanges, perhaps. Tell us a little bit about what niche that Lucca is filling here in the crypto sphere.
Yeah, so we do the not sexy side of crypto. We kind of joke around. So we're not doing the front office. We're not a trading platform. We don't execute trades like the various exchanges or OTC desks and whatnot will do. But what we will do is we'll offer software and data solutions to solve the middle and back office operations of all those businesses. So absolutely, we consider ourselves in the infrastructure category, and we're solving some of the most challenging data solutions with the most complex data sets that are out there with our software and data. And we build both in-house, and we do sometimes leverage some other vendors that are in the crypto industry on a case by case. But we build the majority of our software and data independently.
And so generally speaking, when a customer comes to you, for instance, I saw online eToro, who's one of your customers. They're a big name in the space, a large crypto exchange. What do they generally come to you with a problem looking to solve?
Sure. And I'll answer more generically. Just, you know, obviously, we always go to great efforts to respect all of our customers' confidential information. So, but generically to customers like eToro and exchanges, like when we're servicing them, it could be a number of different things, but it really starts with their back office. So sorting out their crypto data or their subledger so that we can generate financial reports. And that begins with collecting their data from usually a number of sources, whether it's on-chain or off-chain sources. And then we will reconcile it or support them as they're reconciling it, depending on their expertise. And then the ultimate goal is to get to a financial reporting output, whether it's journal entries, it's tax reports, it's audit reports, it's reconciliation-related reports or investor reporting. And we do a number of custom reporting outputs at the end. But it all starts with solving the data challenges that they have, because the crypto data inherently is very complex, and traditional infrastructure or technology solutions cannot accommodate those intricacies.
Yeah, and it's one thing for a centralized business to have enterprise level software and the complexities that are surrounding it, but then you get into decentralized software and some of these DeFi platforms where there's virtually, you know, no reporting to anybody, whether, you know, to the consumer or to any, like, it's just kind of this nebulous space. And so that tends to be problematic in the eyes of regulators. It tends to be problematic for a consumer to just not really know where his balances stand and his positions and all that kind of stuff. And so do you see a future for Luca in the space of decentralized finance or any other decentralized app?
Absolutely. I mean, we're doing it today, and so it can happen a number of different ways. So of course, there may be services that the actual DEXs require themselves. I'd say that's, you know, in a very immature state right now, and that's where a big focus of the regulators and whatnot, and, you know, what do we call these organizations and classify them, and what type of reporting will be required. So I'm very curious to see how that will unfold. But what we're experiencing today is all the different businesses, whether it's a fund or it's another exchange or whatnot, that are trading on these DEXs, and they have challenges with that data as well. And so what we've done for about 35 plus DEXs is we've mapped out their reference data, is what it comes down to. And so what happens is a user will insert a wallet address, so an Ethereum wallet address for an Ethereum-based DEX. And we can automatically identify the basin counter asset associated with their trading activity, and then apply values and facilitate reporting in an automated way. And so that's a huge, huge need. I'd say the majority of our customers have been asking for those types of capabilities anxiously. And there's a big list that we have of more DEXs that we're continuing to map, because people are just trading all over the place.
Yeah, it sounds like the prime customer from an enterprise level might be a fund administrator, somebody who's kind of like, you know, keeping track and reconciling all the trades as a third party sort of accountant for a hedge fund or something. And then maybe like a CPA who's trying to break into the crypto world. Is that right?
Those are our customers that will be using our software to do what you just described. That's exactly right. So one of our biggest customer segments are fund administrators, also fund auditors. And they're doing everything that you just described by using our software and data products.
Wow, fantastic. So as the regulatory landscape kind of evolves for the crypto industry, how do users and investors just best prepare themselves for these changes?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. It's because we don't necessarily know where any of these rules or regulations are going to end up.
Right.
You know, I know what I tell my teams and my customers is you know, try to plan for the unexpected and create things to be as configurable and as possible, so that when things change, we can do it quickly. Mm-hmm. Of course, like, that's a that's a big ask, and these changes can go in a lot of directions. But I think, you know, a lot of the basic things are already in place. Like, you know, you have to pay taxes on all capital assets, and crypto is considered one. In most countries around the world, there's exceptions, of course, and there's businesses that have kind of followed some of the tax havens. But for the most part, you have to pay taxes on this. You have to report out on it. And there's a big focus on managing risk. And so I'd say if you're an organization, a business unit, you know, owner or participant, and you're not thinking about risk management, you're probably going to regret it. And if you are thinking about risk management, as long as you're doing it in a mature way, you're not going to be able to guess what all the rules are going to end up being. But if you're thinking about risk, you're probably doing a lot of the right things. And so that's what we see a lot of our customers doing. And they're reaching out to consultants and their auditors and thought leaders to help form opinions where there's maybe some gray rules. But they're making the effort, and they're having the responsible conversations, and I think that's the biggest takeaway. And we see a lot of that, particularly with the US based businesses today, and we're starting to see it with a lot of the other ones as well.
At a high level, can you kind of outline some of the different buckets of risk that people are trying to manage as, you know, business owners in the crypto space?
Sure. So there's a big focus, I'd say, now on various forms of financial risk, because that's what's intuitive to people. They're saying, hey, I need to manage my margin limits, or I need to manage the risk associated with this trading activity or these positions or whatnot. And so that's the intuitive place for them to start. But what they often don't realize is that none of that can be performed if the companies or the vendors or the data that they're ingesting isn't thinking about the underlying technology risk. And so what I mean by technology risk is the quality in the data, the supervision over any methodologies or calculations, ensuring that calculations in a software solution are actually working as advertised and are working consistently. And there's a lot of, you know, very traditional technology risk domains that people are familiar with, but we don't often see them apply to these younger crypto companies. And so that's, you know, and we see a lot of them that are doing it now. The more mature ones are doing things like getting AICPA SOC audits for service organizations. We were the first one to get that in 2018, which is a, you know, a traditional framework, but it was not really utilized in the crypto industry yet. And we're seeing a lot of those other traditional ones, like an ISO 27001 certification or NIST assessments. And there's a lot of traditional frameworks that we can leverage that can be applied towards what we're seeing in crypto.
That's fascinating. So I kind of want to, you know, switch gears a little bit to the regulatory standpoint, and, you know, just from a from like an anecdotal standpoint, I guess, like if you were leading a crypto council in DC or a lobby or a think tank or whatever, what sort of regulation or legislation would you propose, or are you a really big like advocate for currently, if you are at all?
Yeah, I think speaking for Luca and my personal opinions, like there is an important role that regulators and standard setters play, right? And so we appreciate that, and we absolutely encourage and are supportive of all, you know, responsible regulation or rules that are created around it. And we're you know, try to help where we can. We participate in educational sessions all the time and pretty much open the doors to be able to offer things like that. There's a long way, though, that we need to go in creating these rules. They're much farther, honestly, than they were. And I think people are becoming pretty aware of the underlying problems that they need to solve for a bit more is the big theme that we're going on right now. But it's a really steep learning curve, and we have to figure out how to do some things in new ways than we've done before. So, but generally, you know, hugely supportive of regulation, provided it doesn't unreasonably prevent new innovation in this from being adopted. Right, that would be, I think, an overreach for sure. So. Yeah. So provided it's supporting the adoption of crypto, but it's managing risk in the process is the right balance that we need to strive for.
Even if you're bullish on Bitcoin, the last few weeks probably left you feeling a bit shaky and proved that you need high quality, resilient alternative assets in your portfolio to hedge against volatility. And no, I'm not talking about investing in real estate because while real estate is tangible, you can't transport it and sell it anywhere in the world in any currency. For that, there's only fine art, which is why the Wall Street Journal recently called the art market to be among the hottest on earth. And it's outpaced the S&P from 1995 to 2020. It's also what billionaires have been using for hundreds of years to secure and grow their wealth. On average, the wealthiest individuals allocate 10 to 30% of their wealth to the art market. Now, you can get in on the asset class of millionaires with Masterworks. So Masterworks is the first ever fintech company that's democratizing the art investment landscape. Their small but mighty team has already securitized over $300 million worth of blue chip paintings from artists like Banksy, Kaz, and Basquiat. So when you feel the Bitcoin burn, you can still sleep easy knowing you got a piece of investment grade artwork in your portfolio. You can join over 250,000 investors by going to masterworks.io/crypto101. Again, that's masterworks.io/crypto101. And also, you can go and see some important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. And those are also in the show notes. So Robert, do you think that in the future there's, there's a world where you're going to have multiple chains, right? Like Bitcoin and Ethereum and Solana. You know, we're talking, 15, 20 years down the line. Or do you think it's going to kind of all boil down to one chain, and maybe there will be a permissioned central bank digital currency? Or do you think that most of the action might be happening on? You know, do you have any chains that you think are particularly promising for one reason or another?
You know, I don't, and don't very deliberately. And honestly, we don't usually dwell on which chains are taking off, because very often our customers will interact with a ton of them, right? I mean, we support over 14,000 crypto assets across our partners at Luca. So, you know, trying to whittle it down to the top 10 or the next one that's going to be big, I don't think we've seen it yet. I mean, if I had to guess, I think a lot of the ones that we see now will still be around, and a ton more that don't exist yet will be here. And I think there's probably newer businesses and new types of financial products that we'll see form around the crypto ecosystem that we haven't even seen yet that are going to be, you know, just that are going to change global commerce. And so I think it's very, very exciting. Like, crypto is just getting started. And I think we're only starting to finally realize, like, it just as a global economy, right? I think we're just starting to finally recognize the benefits with, that crypto brings across the world.
Yeah. Could you kind of talk to us a little bit about a future, where tokenized stocks, right, or digitized stocks and bonds and digitized representations of commodities, they are tradable. Does that, what does that do to the world?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty simple answer. And we're already seeing companies that are focusing on tokenizing securities. You know, that's not very mature yet, but there are companies that are looking at it and are innovating, and not just securities, but other, there's tokenized debt, there's tokenized real estate, tokenized lending. I mean, we're seeing all different types of assets being represented in the form of tokens. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest takeaway, right? Is that if we tokenize an asset and that asset is traditionally not liquid, or it's not accessible to certain regions of the world, or it's not accessible in fractional quantities, so it prohibits certain types of investors, those are all the things that crypto changes. And so we can exchange assets for one another without cash. We can do it in fractional quantities, and we can access assets across borders. And when you do all of that, it really just changes how liquid those assets and how people can access them and trade them around the world. And that's what's really exciting. So I think that is the, I mean, we're already seeing it for people that are in crypto. As we see traditional assets start to benefit from some of those same characteristics, I believe it's safe to say it'll change those markets as well for the better. It might make us think of risk in a new way, and we'll figure that out and mature how we manage risk as we go. But the benefits are tremendous.
Fantastic. No, very thorough answer. It'll help in a lot of different ways: liquidity, transparency, ease of use, accessibility. One of the next questions that I was thinking here, because it's a two-pronged question, but it's basically, what do you see as the industry's, what do you see as the industry's biggest challenge over the next, call it 3 to 5 years? And then what do you see as Luca's biggest challenge over the next 3 to 5 years? And I'm curious if they're a similar problem or a different problem.
Yeah, I think the world's biggest challenge is education, right? And being open-minded to this. I mean, I think the world has opened up a lot more clearly in the last 12 months than the, the couple years before that. And so we're seeing this huge adoption, and we're seeing traditional financial institutions launch, formal businesses and whatnot, like, a couple of our partners, S&P, Dow Jones Indices, launching their crypto indexes, and additionally, State Street launching fund services, and a number of other partners. And so, I think we're going to continue to see a lot of that. But as that happens, the education is really the first thing that comes to mind. If you've read the Bitcoin white paper, you do not know about crypto. And I know that it came up on its anniversary, and there are all kinds of LinkedIn posts recently around the Bitcoin white paper. It's really interesting rereading that now, and there's no mention of multiple blockchains. There's no mention of exchanging crypto assets for one another. And, the Bitcoin was not designed for the ecosystem that we have today that's formed around crypto assets. Like, just innovation has done that, even though Bitcoin was the original spark there. And so, that's what's really exciting. And so learning about the ecosystem and not dwelling on the blockchain itself, I think, is where the majority of businesses need to focus. And that comes with just a ton of education and thinking about things kind of outside the box that they're used to living in. Luca, on the other hand, I think is past that, because we see that vision. Like, people join Luca because they believe that there's a huge and very exciting future around crypto assets and tokenization. And what we're focused on is making sure that we can understand the underlying data so that we can build products and solve all the kind of normal business operations problems on top of that data, so that the innovators can continue to innovate and they don't have to really worry about their middle or back office. And so that's what we focus on. In contrast to where I think it's mainly an educational challenge for the rest of the world today.
Awesome. No, very, very, very good answer. And I agree, man. The world definitely needs to continue learning and uptaking all the things that guys like us, right, on podcasts are putting out there, and all the newsletters and all the crypto Twitter people. Keep doing your part out there. Keep educating everybody. But now, again, I'm going to switch gears one last time here to just more of a macro viewpoint of where we're at in the world. So if we could zoom out, I think one of the most prevailing, trends, I guess, in the world right now is that inflation is soaring. And that's kind of it's everywhere, right? It's inescapable. It's liquid, basically, that we're all in, and you can't get out of it. So how did we kind of get here, and where does this land us? Because I think a lot of people are just seeing in the headlines like, oh, inflation is here, but people have no idea what it means.
Yeah, that's a great question that I'm not asked, and I don't consider myself to be an expert in that in macroeconomics or on inflation. I think that when people do recognize what's going on when it relates to inflation around the world, or honestly, just what's going on in any of the financial markets, particularly whenever there's a down day or there's uncertainty in any of those markets, we tend to see people give a second look at crypto a little bit. I think now we're also seeing people just recognize some of the big gains that they're seeing in the market conditions in crypto. And sometimes they're correlated to some traditional markets, and in other times they're the exact opposite, which is, you know, it's really interesting to see all of this unfold. You know, I'm not really sure. I'm very curious to see particularly what's going to happen. I mean, in the United States and around the world when it comes to the economic situation right now. And I'm not really sure how to give you an answer on where it will go, but I'm anxiously watching it like everybody else.
Yeah. It's interesting, I guess, from like a, from one standpoint, it's like, I know a guy who works at a company, right? They make, you know, food products, right? Just generally. And he's like, dude, like the cost of our goods, like, have gone up by 20%. So you realize that all of our food product, and that's just to inflation, right? That has nothing to do with other competitors, you know, moving their price. That's just like, oh, the cost of, you know, cheese or whatever has just gone up because the supply chain is backed up and all that kind of stuff. And he goes, this is a shockwave that's going to be passed down through the supply chain. And, you know, people aren't really prepared for, you know, such higher prices and everything. So I guess, you know, my one word of advice for everybody who's at home listening is just kind of mentally prepare yourself. And obviously buy Bitcoin. That's why we've been buying Bitcoin for years and telling everybody to buy Bitcoin as an inflation hedge, right? This is all we can recommend here in general. But awesome. So Robert, while we still have you, we've got a couple more minutes of your time today. But I just wanted to kind of ask you, outside of what you're doing at Luca and outside of any of your partners or anybody that you might have a financial interest in, what's just one company, one crypto company that you think is making waves, that you totally respect, you think they're doing great stuff, and you just want to give a shout out?
Sure, and there's so many on this list.
And feel free to take a few.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ones. I mean, in the fund space, you know, there's one coin fund that's out there, you know, hearing more and more great things about what they're doing. So I'll give them a mention here, and recommend people to look at them and to look at what a lot of these other organizations are doing around attracting more talent into the crypto industry. There's a another organization that's just newly being formed right now that's focused on recruiting military veterans into the crypto industry called VDA, Veterans in Digital Assets, for example, that I'm helping with and participating in, and it's just getting started, but that's another one that I'll mention. And there's tons more too, so that, you know, it's a tricky question, but it's great to see a lot of the companies that are out there that are really, really doing things that are moving the needle.
Yeah, love it. And this is one question that I think you've actually kind of already answered. There's so many nuggets of wisdom here, but it's a question we ask every guest at the end of the show. And it's as simple as, well, this is Crypto 101. And so a lot of times people might be clicking this for the very first time, right? This might be their very first podcast that they've listened to that has anything to do with cryptocurrency. And their mind is blown and they're like, what's going on? What's your one word of advice for somebody like that? Your one word of wisdom, and then we'll close out.
Is there's very safe ways to learn about crypto, and I recommend the best way to do it is to roll up your sleeves and to buy a little bit amount, you know, a little bit. You don't have to buy an amount that you're scared to lose. You can buy $5 worth of Bitcoin or any of these assets on a lot of trusted exchanges. I mean, pick a Kraken, a Coinbase, a Gemini, you know, any of these big exchanges there are not risky to interact with. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to go buy a little bit just for learning purposes. And so I'd say that's the number one advice. Make sure that you are being very security savvy. So use password managers. And if you're not familiar with password managers, I mean, you should be using them anyway in this day, not just because of your crypto. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the really the simple answer for the new people or people that have maybe not bought it yet is to not be scared of it. There's some very safe ways that don't put themselves at risk. So.
Yeah, perfect. No, I echo that entirely. So awesome. So thank you so much, Robert, for coming on to share with us about Luca and all the amazing things that you guys are doing over there. And we hope to have you back on the show sometime soon when you guys have updates and more announcements.
Great. Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Bryce. And cheers. Happy to come back.